The Angsty Christian Podcast is a mature show that dives deep into the problematic aspects of the modern church. Some content might not be suitable for all listeners. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Hello, welcome back to the Angsty Christian Podcast. This is your deconstruction daddy, Daniel. Fun fact about me. Shit. You know, this happens every time. Fun fact about me. Right now, I am sitting in my apartment and I am drinking some iced coffee that I used using our Nespresso. And I have some peppermint mocha creamer in it, and it's really good, really tasty. Christmas has fully begun over in the apartment of us idiots that live here. And today is a special episode, so I am recording actually the day before this will post. So this is currently Monday. Jake and Bonnie are not with me, sadly. Both of them are students currently, so they are both still working, working, and also they are both doing school and they are busy, and then the holidays happened, you know, so getting the three of us together has been difficult. I think we've only seen each other like once or twice for the last few weeks, and we normally hang out at least once a week, if not more, and so we talked and we're like, well, we won't be able to do an episode this week. And so Jake said, well, we can do another trying to find a brain cell episode. And I was like, all right. So here I am trying to find a brain cell. What does that mean? I don't know. But knowing me, it'll probably go on to some rant about something, some hot take about something. But before I go into anything, I do want to make a couple of quick announcements. So that last episode with Gabe, if you haven't listened to it, please do. Oh my gosh. I think it was actually a really fun episode and a good episode. And his prayer at the end was phenomenal. That is actually going to be our last episode of this season. We are going to be taking some time off, about like a month and a half, 2 months or so. And we have one more special episode coming up for you. It is going to be a very angsty Christmas special. Or the Angst Before Christmas. I don't know what the name of it's going to be. But what we have discussed so far is pretty fucking ridiculous. And you know what? Since Jake isn't here to tell me no, Jake, you can suck my ass right now. I am going to give you a little taste of something that I have been working on for my part of it. Let me find it real quick. There it is. So, excuse me. Had to clear my throat for it. You're going to get the first two stanzas of a poem that I wrote. 'Twas the angst before Christmas, and all through the land. Not a creature was moshing, not even Dan. The purity rings were worn on everyone's hands with care, in hopes that Kenneth would be filled with despair. But the people were hiding, they were hiding in fear, because wherever Kenneth goes, there is no holiday cheer. For Kenneth loves Christmas for all the wrong reasons, because for him, presents are the reason for the season. That's all you get, okay? There's more where that came from, and it's pretty fun. I think, I don't know, I don't give a shit, I'm not a poet. I write, but not like that, I don't know. But we have some fun stuff that's coming up, and so we're really excited for that. We don't know exactly what day that's going to release, but it will be on or before Christmas, or Christmas Eve, and it's going to be pretty funny. So if there are anything, if there are any ideas that you guys have, or anything that you think would be really funny, or even some of your favorite things that we have talked about, or we have said over this last year, please send it to us. We'd love to hear it. So just, you know, message us on Instagram or Twitter. On Twitter, it's actually at Angsty Kids. Angsty Christian was taken, and then Angsty Christian Pod doesn't fit. Everything else I tried doesn't work. But then on Instagram, it is at Angsty Christian Pod. Make sure to give us a follow, and also like subscribe to us on whatever listening platform you're listening to. On Apple, please give us some reviews, good or bad. That helps us get more viewers on that and we do want more viewers, because more viewers means more people get to listen to us being idiots, but also because the message that we have, we believe, is a good one. Good enough that, you know, three of us get together, we have purchased some equipment, not much, but we have purchased some equipment, we spend time doing this, so we hope that, you know, it has served you guys well, and so if it has served you well, like, let some people know. You know, we have a lot of listeners all over the world, actually. I'm quite surprised. Like, we have people in different parts of Africa, different parts of Asia, all over Europe, all over Latin America. And then obviously we have a ton here in the United States. And so it's really cool just having that experience of knowing people around the world may listen to what we say. And it's been a lot of fun doing this. And so we're thankful for all of you guys who, all of you all. I'm trying to stop saying you guys, which, like, dudes and guys in Southern California is just kind of like lingo, but I also recognize that it is not inclusive language. So I'm trying to say you all more, or y'all, which I guess sounds Southern. I don't give a fuck. So anyways, we are thankful for y'all for listening to our craziness over this year. Next year, when we come back, probably in like February-ish, we have some dope stuff planned. We have a ton of people who've reached out to us who want to be on the pod, or who want us to be on their pod. And if you're listening to this and you have asked us to be on your pod and we have not messaged you back, I have it written down. We have not forgotten you, but goddamn, the last 2 years has been crazy. So we all need to give each other a little extra grace, because, like, you know, stress brain is a real thing. And when we are constantly acting in a place of survival, which we all have for the last 2 years, you know, that we need to give each other more grace. If you didn't know about me, I guess this is my fun fact. I am a trauma-informed practitioner, and so I do a lot of what, you know, a lot of what I think about on a daily basis has to do with trauma and how it affects the body and the brain. Which, you guys, if you're listening to this, you probably know that, but if this is your first time listening, hey, guess what? That's kind of what I do for a living and do social work and stuff, but, you know, whatever. But yeah, so we've had a lot of people reach out, and if you want to be on the podcast and share your story or share a snippet, message us. We'd love to hear it. We also have a Google form that you can fill out if you just go to our link tree that's in all of our bios, and you can be able to submit a story there. We did have a few people who have, and so we're going to figure out what that's going to look like. It may be a pre-recorded thing, or it may be, you know, how we've done interviews in the past. We don't really know yet. Me, Jake, and Bonnie are going to be kind of meeting up and discussing what that looks like, and what it's going to look like moving forward. But we are super excited just for, you know, like, there's, I don't know how many of you who listen to this and who enjoy it, but, you know, when we first came out, I think our average listenership was anywhere from 5 to 20 people. And it's definitely gone up way more than that. And so, it's cool to see that at least some people are resonating with it. We've made some friends from this podcast. You know who you are. And we hope to make a lot more friends in the future and, you know, have more people up there. But I think with the three of us, and I don't speak for the other two, but at least in the conversations we've had, our hope is that's different, I think, than some of the other podcasts out there, which are all great. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of them, they kind of tend to only interview people, at least what I've seen. They tend to interview a lot of people who already have a following, which there's use to that, right? And there's beauty in that, and that's definitely something that we do want, because we think that some of these people, we have certain conversations that we'd like to have specifically with them, or they can provide some sort of wisdom that we can't. But there's a lot of wisdom and knowledge that comes from the experience of quote-unquote the average person, although those of you who may fall under that category, you're not just average, you are an amazing person with intrinsic value just because you exist. And so if you have a story that you would like to share, like, let us know. We'd love to get you on. We'll figure out what that's going to look like. Because we only do one episode every 2 weeks, and unless that changes for whatever reason, that's like 26 episodes a year, give or take maybe five. So we can't get everyone on all the time, but we, you know, as long as people want to do that, you know, we want to figure out ways to do that. And so, you know, Jake and Bonnie, if you're listening to this, you know, we should have a discussion about this, a more thorough discussion about this. But yeah, so, let's see what's going on with me today. So I had a funny experience this week. If you follow us on Instagram, you might have seen a couple posts from this. So I was on Facebook a week ago or something, and I don't go on it too often, but going on it a lot more because we started our own, we started our podcast page on Facebook. So some people may be listening to this from Facebook or can listen to this from Facebook now. And so I just go on that just to kind of check the analytics and, you know, see what's going on and trying to figure, you know, certain things out. But, I like to go on different pages on Facebook, like meme groups and stuff. And like, I like to steal memes. You may remember from previous episodes, if you have, like, I have also gotten banned from some of them because, I have, used, like, my satire was too good. And so they thought that I was legit, and I get that, you know, whatever. But this one, it's called What the Furtick. I thought it was going to be hilarious memes about Stephen Furtick, making fun of him, making fun of prosperity gospel and all that stuff, which, you know, that's totally up my alley. And I thought it was going to be filled with like a lot of even ex-evangelicals and ex-Christians, whatever, but no, it's full of a lot of evangelical Christians who just hate Furtick. And so there's been a lot of things that have been posted on there that have been, some have been funny, some have been cringy, and some have also just pissed me off. And seeing the responses that some of these people have towards each other, I'm like, all right, well, thanks for reminding me why I left this shithole. It's been entertaining to say the least. But I think it was last night, I saw a post where Stephen Furtick, I guess, tweeted this on July 2nd, 2020. And no, I'm not going to look through all of his tweets because I hate Stephen Furtick. If you ask me why, briefly, well, he is a prosperity gospel teacher. He also, like Elevation Church, I don't think stands for a lot of the things that I stand for. But he also, did I say he's prosperity gospel? Yeah, I don't know. But there was a couple years ago, when I was still in those circles, in the circles that I was in, an article started going around that was detailing the leadership contract that Stephen Furtick has leaders of Elevation Church sign. And from what I remember, and I did look it up and went to the website and found it and, you know, verified all of it. My only issue is I did not save it. I wish I did. If I can go back like 5 years until old Daniel, save this document, that would save so much. But, this document essentially laid out the leadership contract and it was saying stuff like, you have to listen to, the leader of this church, like what he says goes, and it just was all this language that was very cultish. Some of it had Jesus slapped onto it, but it was essentially like kind of equating Furtick to like this person that needs to be followed, admired in a way, that his say goes, how he said what he says in the gospel is like, or what he says is like the gospel truth. It was just really sketchy, right? I have since tried finding it and can't. And yes, I have looked significantly. I have tried finding this old document, but I can only find just normal leadership contracts from Elevation Church now. And so that started me getting into question, started getting me to start thinking about Stephen Furtick a lot more seriously. Because prior to that, I did actually like listen to more of his stuff, or at least follow him on Instagram and stuff. Because, you know, oh, mega church, he must be doing something right, right? But after that, I was like, ooh, this is weird. So I started paying more closer attention to what he said. And I was like, okay, you're not actually bringing anything out of the Bible. There's actually no historical or cultural context in this. Like, you're just eisegeting everything, which is the sense of taking what's in the Bible and applying it directly to your life without looking at it from exegesis, which is cultural, historical, literary language, like looking at all the different backgrounds and all the different things that we don't understand because we live 2,000 years after most of these were, after like the New Testament was written, at least, and more than 2,000 years since the Old Testament was written. And so we don't have an understanding of what the fuck they were talking about in their culture, right? And so I also started to sense that he and a lot of mega church pastors, and I've seen this with pretty much any church that uses the simple church model, which if you think of your basic evangelical mega church, they probably use the simple church model. They have the same 12 songs that they repeat all the time, and then when they introduce a new one, they take out an old one. They also will have the same messages all the time, one on tithing, one on debt, one on baptism. It's the same shit over and over and over and over again. My old mega church that I used to attend before the church that Jake and I met at actually was a simple church model. When I called them out on it, I got a couple different messages. Once was, oh, well, it works, so blah, 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 whatever. It's actually the best thing ever. I'm like, okay, cool. The second time it was, no, we actually don't. I'm like, well you do, because X, Y, and Z, it, you know, got a lot of fight. They fought me on that one, but I was like, whatever. Then I left, because no more evangelical Stockholm syndrome for me. But, you know, I started seeing that, you know, a lot of these people who do the simple church model, they have what I call like a hidden prosperity gospel. Like, it's prosperity gospel. They say some of the good things at times, but ultimately, like, it's all about you give me your money and these good things happen. You give your life to Christ and these good things will happen. It's a lot of spiritual manipulation, which I know a lot of you probably have experienced at some point in your life. And I know because of the things that I've seen you guys send us, or the things that you've shared, or the conversations we've had, or what has resonated with you, or with other people in different groups that I'm part of. That shit's not okay, right? And if you do hear any background noise, that is my apartment's gardener. I guess I chose the wrong time to record, but whatevs. So what I was saying, I'm going to try to turn my mic a little bit away from the sound. We'll see if that works. So anyways, let's get to this post, right? And so Stephen Furtick, July 2nd, 2020, he tweeted, "You already are enough. You are enough," right? That's actually, yeah, that's, he's not wrong. Like, I saw that and I was like, wow, wait, I don't disagree with him. That's weird. And it kind of makes me kind of think, you know, should I listen to more of what he says? Oh my God, this gardener has gotten loud. I'm going to pause for now and we'll come back to this. All right, I'm back. The gardener has passed. It's like, you know, in the Old Testament when... God is creating the plagues on Egypt, you know, and they put the blood above their door. It's a fucking weird ass passage. I actually did an entire paper on that in college before. But to go back to what I was saying, you know, I see this post, and granted, this was in 2020. No, I hated him before that. Well, before that, actually. No, I'm not going to actually listen to Stephen Furtick, because I have seen some of his stuff be posted on friends' stories, and every time I'm like, this is shit. Why the fuck? No, this isn't even biblically true. This also isn't even like psychologically true. You're an idiot, dude. Anyways, so this post, Stephen Furtick tweeted, "You already are enough." I agree with that. You are already enough. But someone crossed it out and wrote "Christ alone is" instead of saying "you already are." It says "Christ alone is enough," and then they put "no human being is quote unquote enough or worthy in the sight of God." And holy shit, that pissed me the fuck off. This is the exact reason why so many of us have decided to deconstruct, or not even decided, why some of us had to deconstruct. We have been forced for so long, many of us growing up in the church and being indoctrinated, have been told that you are shit, that you are horrible, you are not enough, there's nothing you can do to be good unless you accept the love of Jesus into your heart or fart or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And that's such bullshit. What? What kind of screwed up, sideways theology do you have to say that, like... Actually, no, I know where this starts, because starting with St. Augustine back in whenever the fuck the fall of Rome, like what, 200, some shit like that? I don't know. You guys can correct me if you're a historian. If you're not, suck my ass disrespectfully. But St. Augustine, I used to love him. I used to think a lot of what he said was actually really good, of how he's, you know, he says the origination of evil and all that stuff when I've read through The City of God during my medieval philosophy class. But St. Augustine is the one who kind of came up with this idea of original sin, him and I think someone else probably did. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm kind of going off of my memory right now. I don't care enough to research. Actually, I probably should. I'm going to research real quick. Original sin doctrine. Sin, who created it? Let's see what Google tells me. So traditionally, okay, I don't know. I want to know who invented this idea. Yeah, it was St. Augustine. Okay, I was right. So I grew up Lutheran, right? And the Lutherans are huge on this original sin idea. But, you know, St. Augustine, whenever the fuck he wrote this, came with this idea of original sin, which is saying that, you know, we are sinful when we are born. When Adam and Eve, when they ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, that is when sin entered the world, and sin gets passed down through sex. And the only reason why Jesus was sinless is because he was not passed, like Virgin Mary had to be a virgin, because if she wasn't, then Jesus would have entered this world through sin. Do you see what kind of sideways bullshit this is? I used to believe this. I used to think this was super true. I know. That just sounds psychologically harmful and theologically harmful, spiritually harmful, physically harmful, right? Because it's what caused this idea that we are depraved, that we have no inherent good unless God tells us so. And God tells us so through the sacrifice of Jesus. But this theology starts with Genesis 2. That's Genesis 3, technically. This theology starts when Adam and Eve get booted from Eden. But the Bible doesn't start there. The Bible starts in Genesis 1, when as God was creating everything, he said it was good. But then when he created man, formed humankind out of the mud, or rather Adam out of the mud, and then breathed life into him, and later created Eve out of Adam's rib. When God created humanity, he looked at it and he said, you are very good. He didn't say you were depraved. He didn't say you are good, but only if you accept my son, Jesus, who has not been born yet and you will not know for however many years. No, God looked at it and said, you are very good. And the fact that like Genesis and also I believe the Quran also teaches this idea that God created us out of mud. It's this imagery of like a potter creating a pot and doing pottery and stuff like, and for those of you who are artists or those of you who have ever created anything in your life, you can follow the exact precise instructions that someone else has done. And you can copy Michelangelo's style or Leonardo da Vinci's style or, fucking Salvador Dali's style, whatever. You can copy someone else's style. You can copy someone's music. But there's always going to be a part of it that is going to be different than the original artists. It's always going to have your own imprint on it, right? It's always going to have your own little pizzazz to it. Like with this podcast, we could easily sit there and copy word for word or copy section by section of the Dirty Rotten Churches or of Kevin Garcia or of Mike McHarg or, you know, like we could literally just copy whoever it is that we want out there. But we don't, because that's, you know, plagiarism and not cool. But like the point is even if we were to do that, it's not going to be the same exact thing unless those original people created it. If I write a book, even if I copy someone's style, it's still going to sound like my own. And holy shit, this goddamn gardener came back. I'm going to try to get through this, y'all. I'm going to try. This is annoying because I'm in the middle of something. And he's just doing his job. So you know what, Gardner? Do your job. Thank you. He's keeping it clean. And there was a lot of wind last week. And so there was leaves everywhere before Thanksgiving. But so no matter what, an artist is going to leave an imprint, their image, behind on that thing, right? And likewise, in I think most major religions, or even just religions in general, in the creation of humanity, it's this idea, there's always like this creative aspect to it, right? I mean, it's creation of humanity. So regardless, all of these spiritualities and all of these faiths or whatever have this idea that the God created humanity and thus leaves their imprint inherently behind it. And also the word that is used when God breathes life into Adam, I actually have it tattooed on me. It's one of my favorite words. It's ruach. And it's the same word that's used in the New Testament. But the Greek version is pneuma. And this word means breath, wind, spirit. Those are three of the most common ways to translate it, as breath or as wind or as spirit. And so when God breathes life into Adam, the idea of ruach is that God put his spirit entered into Adam. Or when Jesus is walking on the water and there's a storm and he calls Peter out and Peter starts walking, there's this idea that the pneuma went over the waters and it scared Peter. That could be easily translated as the spirit. The spirit went on the water and it scared Peter. Also, I think the word used when they look at Jesus, then they call him a ghost, is also pneuma, which is funny. They had an idea of what ghosts were back then. But this idea that like God put their spirit into us, they created us out of the dirt, they molded us and left their image in and with us. And so if we're going to say that we are deprived, aren't we going to also say that, or depraved, not deprived, if we're going to say that we are depraved, then what we are also doing is saying that God's image is depraved. What we're saying is that if original sin is this idea that we have fucked it up already by the time that we're born, that means God fucked it up already, which you can say that, I guess, yeah. I don't agree with that. I agree that we are all made in the image of the divine. And if we are all made in the image of the divine, that also inherently makes us divine. That means that we have inherent beauty. And also, likewise, so does the rest of this earth. St. Francis of Assisi, St. Bonaventure, and now Richard Rohr have all used this idea of the universal Christ or the cosmic Christ. And it derives from John 1. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this idea is that what they say is that God is in everything and God is everything. Now, you might remember me talking about how I talked with Pastor Bruce and Pastor Bruce called me an animist and all this other bullshit, right? And that's what I was quoting. It's also in First Colossians. Actually, I think that's exactly First Colossians is where, or not First Colossians, Colossians 1 is where it says God is in everything, God is everything, or Christ is in all, and Christ is all. Different translations kind of have it similar, saying something similar, and there is context to that. And it was specifically talking about humanity and everything, but Francis Bonaventure and Richard Rohr take it a bit further, because if God created us, and Genesis account, whether or not it's folklore, also talks about how God created everything else, and that means their image is inherently behind in everything, and that there's divinity and beauty in everything, just simply because it exists. And so when I see this post, I see this, quite frankly, bullshit that says no human being is enough or worthy in the sight of God. And honestly, I feel like God is looking back at that person saying, where the fuck did you get this wrong? How could you dare say that about my creation? Like if I'm an artist, or like I've been getting into baking recently. If I bake something and someone says this is shit, I look at them and say, how dare you say that something that I just created for you is shit? Or if I do photos for someone and out of the goodness of my heart, granted if they're paying me, they get the right to say whatever the fuck they want. But if I take photos of someone out of the goodness of my heart, they're not paying me or whatever, and they tell me that, oh, this photo is shit, I'm going to look at them and say, how dare you? You know, if you create or make something for someone and you give that to them as a gift, you don't want them to call it shit. You're going to feel offended because you put your heart and your soul into that, right? Now, granted, criticism, there's good criticism and all that stuff, but just bear with me, all right? And so, because like this is really spitting on the face of God and spitting on the image of God. And so I get so tired of hearing these sermons, which granted, I don't hear many sermons nowadays, but seeing these things written by people, tweeted by people, memed by people, and all Christians. And every single time, they look like the same bullshit person, which great. I mean, you can't change how you look, but like, it's just interesting how they, you know, all wear the same clothes and look the same, and they're always the same ethnicity. And they always are, you know, talking down to women and all that stuff. But anyways, I'll leave that one for another time. But every single time I see this, it makes me both pissed off, but it also makes me feel so bad. Because I think for many of us who grew up in the church, we agreed with that at some point in our life. But at some point, we learned and we realized that we cannot live this way anymore. And so we start to deconstruct. We start to question our beliefs and say, well, psychology says this, and like, it doesn't feel good to consistently think that I'm horrible, that I'm bad, that I'm not worthy, that I'm not enough. And so if that, and like, as you start doing body work, you're like, my body doesn't feel good about this. And I need to pay attention to my body. And then you start to deconstruct and you realize like there's so much life on the other side of that, and that you can't possibly imagine going back to that because it was actually harmful and was going to kill you. Some of the times, literally. So we don't deconstruct looking at you, Gospel Coalition, because we're trying to earn street cred, or we want to sin more, or we just, you know, don't pray enough, or have enough disciplines, or know enough about the Bible, or there's not enough good teaching out there. Whatever. No, well, yeah, there isn't. There's a lot of horrible preachers out there, and horrible pastors, but it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with wanting to sin more. Or get street cred, which, I mean, that's fun. I mean, hey, if I got street cred from deconstructing, great. The reality is most of us, myself included, lost a lot of friends, lost respect from family. Some of us lost our jobs. Some of us, like myself, have no way to get that job that they once got their degree in to get it again. Well, that's not true. I can probably get a job if I wanted to. People just have to be more careful. And I do have some friends who are pastors who have deconstructed and are trying to actually change a church from the inside, and I respect that. And who knows, I might end up doing that one day as well. And I do lead a young adults group at my current church. But point being is, you know, like, we didn't leave for no reason. We left because it changed our lives, and it wasn't an easy decision. I remember I've been on a missions trip in Ukraine. I went right when I came out of college, and I went. I wanted to be an intern with this organization. I don't anymore. I also don't believe in most mission trips nowadays. But this organization, even though it's evangelical, I think they do actually a pretty good job. They don't try to colonize. They introduce American evangelicalism, but they don't try to take over. They actually try to support. At least from what I've seen, they try to support the local church that's out there. But some good friends of mine, one of them is a missionary over there. One of them wanted to be an intern with this organization for many years. But I remember having conversations with them, and even conversations with some of the youths that I had discussions with over there in Ukraine. In Ukraine, they grew up with an Eastern Orthodox religion or faith, and it wasn't really like there was no relationship with Jesus. It was kind of all these do's and don'ts, and you know, all that other stuff, a little bit more legalistic than what many of us experience here in America. And when they would if they would come to camp and they enjoyed it and they had an experience that they wanted to actually, like, you know, say, hey, you know, I want to quote unquote repent or give my life to Jesus. That's what they say for getting baptized or whatever. Sometimes they wouldn't make the decision right away. They would say, I need to get back to you in a week. Or I need to think about this. Can I get back to you in a month? And they would normally give you a time, but they would need significant time to do it, because for them, Protestantism was seen as a cult. Granted, it is a cult, but it was seen as a cult, and so they could literally lose every single friend that they have and all of their family. And that's not an easy thing to give up. But they make the choice, and they think about it, and they decide when they decide that is what they want to do, that's what they do. And I think that image is very similar to what many of us, when we deconstruct, go through. Where we had to think about it. We had to consider, is this something that I want? And ultimately we chose, it's not something that I want, but it's something that I need to do. for my mental health, my physical health, my spiritual health, my whatever health. And so we do, but it wasn't an easy thing. Because I think many of us, we can think back and remember what it felt like to say that I am not good without Christ. And sit with that in our bodies and realize that was no way to live. I've heard it, and many of you have probably heard it too, you know, like, Jesus wants you to live life and live life to its fullest. How can you live life to its fullest if you have to have a God in order to live that? To live life to its fullest, you need to do whatever feels right for you in that moment and learn what it looks like to live your best self. And sometimes living as your best self means leaving the church, means leaving Christianity, means maybe leaving spirituality altogether, at least for now or forever. But at the end of the day, it's whatever choice it is that we have to make. And that's not an easy thing. So I think there's a lot more that I could say on this. But I'll keep this relatively short, because that pissed me off. I'll share a little bit about what I tweeted after that. Because this came from, one of the pastors at our church who, he was actually going to be one of our first interviews, but we just have had a lot of schedule conflicts. And then hopefully he's going to be our first interview, when we come back in the new year. But, this is from, Danny Cortez. If any of you know the nonprofit Estuary Space, it's the same pastor, really great. And, I do also want to do a quick plug, because some of you may live in the area, and may be looking, but some of you may not. And if you're don't give a shit about church, just skip forward a few seconds. I don't care, or just listen or whatever. But the church that we attend recently did just come out as affirming. So if you are queer, and you're looking for a community, whether or not you're Christian or whether or not you give a shit, but you just want community where you feel accepted, come out to Long Beach. The church is called Long Beach Christian Fellowship. If you want to tune in online, just kind of see what they're about, go to lbcf.org. No, this is not a sponsorship, but we do it. Being part of this church has been the first time, I think, ever where I've been able to be proud to say that I go to a church again. And I didn't realize that until they came out as affirming. And, you know, you've heard a lot of my own process during this last year of doing a lot of the deconstruction as you listen to this. And so, you know, it might not be an easy thing for me to say that, especially on this platform. But something that I believe in. And so if you're looking for that community, please let us know. We'd love to hang out with you. Excuse me, my throat's a little dry right now from talking for so long, but we'd love to hang out with you. We'd love to see you. So come on out. But so Danny said this, in a message that he said yesterday, we're going through John 1 for Advent, and he ended, and I added a little bit to it, but what else? So Danny said, "You are not defined by your mistakes this year. You are not defined by your theology. John 1 states that you are a child of God. I added, Genesis 1 states that you were made in the image of the divine. Now you hold inherent worth simply because you exist. Part of the divine lives and rests in you. You are good. You are so beautiful. And you are love." And then I added after that as well, you know, Kevin Garcia, and I say it a lot, but this is a saying that I really enjoy. It has served me well since I read the book Bad Theology Kills. You are wonder. You are fully made. And yeah, Bad Theology Kills. There's a reason why Kevin wrote that book, because their life was at risk. Black lives are at risk. Now Asian lives are at risk. Well, not now, but Indigenous lives are at risk. Pretty much lives are at risk due to depression and a lot of the stuff that can lead to that many of us may have felt at some point in our lives. And so I'm not going to stop. I don't think we're going to stop here on this platform of fighting bad theology. We're not going to fight. We're not going to stop fighting toxic Christianity, because there is more beauty out there. And if this whole life thing, if there is more to it, and if that more to it happens to be in the Christian circle or God or Jesus or whatever, which granted I'm more of a universalist at this point in my life anyways, but I don't know if I would say universalist, mystic, more of a mystic. But you know, if all this stuff has some sort of value to it, if there's something to it, it's much more than what the church has made it in the last I'll say at least since Constantine, because I know that was a major turning point. So, with that being said, I'm done. I'm going to go get my laundry, and I'm going to, you know, read and do my shit. But we'll see you, or you'll hear us, rather, around Christmas for that episode. We are super stoked for that. So stay tuned for information on that on our social media platforms and on here. remember to give us a follow on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, whatever it is that you get your podcast from. Give us a review if you're able to. Give us a follow if you have not followed us yet. And reach out to us if there's anything that you need from us. Questions that you may have that you want us to address for our last episode or next year. If you want to be on the podcast, whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you because we care about you. Whether or not we know you, we do care about you. And we do want to hear from you and be able to make this podcast good for all of you, all of our children out there. So until next time, we will see y'all soon. Yeah. Bye-bye. Fuck you, Jake. I said bye-bye again. Haha.
's for listening to this episode of the Angsty Christian Podcast. Please make sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the Angsty Christian Pod.
And if you really, really like our show and you want to support us, make sure to go over to our Patreon.
Thanks,
and,
Mom.
Yeah, thank you, Mom. And become one of our backers.
And if you would like to email us about literally anything, you hate us, you like us, you want to be with us, whatever, I don't care, email us at angstychristianpodcast@gmail.com. Also realize when I said that, it sounds like you want to be in a relationship with us. Well, two of us are single, but please don't. That's weird.
I'll hold your hands.
Anyways. all music is done by Brad Tsushima. He is a homie. Thank you so much, Brad. We love you.